This is the passage we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through to chapter 5, verse 2. If you're an adult, please, if you want a Bible, please stick your hand up. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And this is the bit that we're really going to focus in on this morning. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. This is God's word to us this morning. Before we have a look at this, brilliant, please take your seats and let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. We thank you for your mercy. Please, Lord, as we listen to your word, would you change us? Would you transform us into the likeness of your Son for your glory? Amen. Do you have house rules? I bet there's a list of things you're not allowed to do at home, isn't there? Instructions on how you should behave. This behavior is okay. This behavior is not okay. I've got a big nod over here. I wonder what your home rules are. No flicking, no picking, no licking, no kicking, and never, ever, ever mention Brexit. Or maybe all you have is two rules. Rule number one, mum is always right. Rule number two, if mum is wrong, see rule number one. Now, they're probably not your rules, but I bet you can all think of things that you are allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do at home. The do's and the don'ts of your household. But it's not just there, is it? Because at school, we have school rules, don't we? And actually, in our whole country, we have rules as well, or laws, as they're called, telling us how we should behave. And even though we can easily get frustrated with rules, I bet you get frustrated with them, they are really good for us. And if we didn't have rules, our country would be in a mess. Because it's fantastic right now. And we really need rules. Not because we all love walking the same, but because we're so tempted to do what is wrong. To not think of others, but to behave like we're the only ones who matter. So it shouldn't surprise us that on Jesus' team, he also has rules, ways that people who are on his team should behave. And this term, we're returning to the book of Matthew. And we're going to work through chapters 5 to 7, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, but which I am calling the kingdom's rules. Where's my little thing? Here we go. Chapters 5 to 7. The kingdom rules. Not house rules, not school rules, not country rules, but the kingdom's rules. You see, Jesus sits down and gives his disciples some do's and don'ts on how they should behave in the king's kingdom. Now, you might not remember, but about 6 months ago, we covered chapters 1-4, which was about the gathering and growing of Jesus' royal family. And chapters 5-7 is the king's teaching on the kingdom rules. Behavior for Jesus's royal family. Behavior for Jesus's royal family. The do's and the don'ts that somebody who loves Jesus, somebody who belongs to Jesus, should do and not do. What is acceptable behavior? And this morning, we're not actually going to look at any specific do's and don'ts from chapter 5-7. But we're going to focus in on two big points that overarch this section and that will help us to really understand this section about the kingdom rules. And these two points are really essential if we don't want to avoid ourselves getting into a right mess. And to help us with these two points, I have two triplets. So I have a word, an item, and a response for each one of my points, which will help us, hopefully. Those who like saying stuff, it'll help them. Those who like seeing things, it'll help them. And those who love words, it'll help them. So my first word is belongs. My first word is belongs. That's my first word. My first item is a name tag. This is my first item. Here we go. And my response that I need you guys to be saying, oh, this can go up there, is, oi, that's mine. Okay, that's what I need you to say, is, oi, that's mine. Do you reckon you can say that? Should we have a go? Oi, that's mine. So when I say belongs and point, because belongs is quite a common word, so I'm going to be saying it a lot. So to prevent us having a three-hour sermon because you say, oi, that's mine, every time I say the word. When I point at the word, you say, when I say it and point, you say, oi, that's mine. Okay, some of you aren't awake. Let's try that again. A bit more, ready, steady. Oi, that's mine. That is brilliant. So, I bet we all have seen, do I need to move this back a little bit? Let me move this back a little bit so we can all see it. I bet we have all seen a name tag. Have we all seen a name tag before? Yes. A name tag shows us that something, are you ready, belongs to someone. So maybe you've got a label in your jumper which has your name written on it. What makes that thing belong to you? It shows everyone that it belongs to you. Have you all got something with your, I bet you've all wearing something this morning with your name written on it in a name tag type of thing. You see, if this was attached to Hazel's hat, that would show that the hat belonged to Hazel. If this was attached to Toby's lunchbox, it would show everybody that the lunchbox belonged to Toby. Yeah, it's something that we put on something else to show it belongs to us. It makes sure the right person uses it, doesn't it? We don't put name tags, we don't write our names in something that is somebody else's, that belongs to someone else. We write it on our own stuff, so we make sure the right person uses it. And these kingdom rules belong to those who belong to Jesus. Let me say that again. These kingdom rules that we're going to look at through chapters 5-7, they belong to those who belong to Jesus. And this is a really, really important point. You see, just like the jumper should be worn by the person who it belongs to, these kingdom rules are for those that belong to, oh, okay, you really want to do it. Okay, they belong to those that belong to the King. These are behaviors for those who want to live like Jesus and want to follow him, who have Jesus as their King. And we see that from the instructions that Jesus gives. You see, this is our verse that I want to focus in on. And there are two groups mentioned here. Can you see the two groups? Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, the disciples, saying. You see, you have the crowds, those who are listening in, those who are watching. They're not the disciples, but they are listening in. And you have Jesus's disciples. And did you see who these are directed at? They are directed at Jesus's disciples primarily, not the crowds. They're helpful for the crowds, but primarily they are directed at those who love the King, those who want to follow the King, those who are the King's kids, as it would be. And there is a purpose to the crowds listening in, and it is good for them, but these do not belong to them. They belong to the disciples. And if we get this wrong, we can get ourselves in a massive amount of mess. I have a four-year-old at home. He's called Daniel. I love him to bits. He's brilliant. We have a rule for Daniel, which is that he is not allowed to throw his food. He's not allowed to throw his food. His food has to stay on the plate. Does anyone else have a rule like that at home, where you're not allowed to? Beth, you have one at home. Yeah, you're not allowed to throw your food. Is that basically what it is? Okay, I can imagine where that came from. But Daniel is not allowed to throw his food. Now, we have a six-month-old as well. The rule does not apply to him because he's not capable of, A, understanding the rule, but he's not capable of following the rule. When we put food for him, it goes everywhere. It flies all over the place. It's very common for us all to finish our mealtime covered in whatever Joshua is eating. You see, we have to apply the rules to the right person, because if we apply it to those who are not able or capable of following them, it gets disastrous. And that is massively important when it comes to the rules of the kingdom rules. You see, often people make terrible mistakes with this section from chapters 5 to 7. And some people often read it as, if I do X, Y, and Z, I will become a part of Jesus' kingdom. If I follow these rules, then I will become one of Jesus' followers. And maybe that's you, adults. Maybe that's you, children. You wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You wouldn't say, I'm a follower of Jesus. But you're looking in this morning. You're watching Christians who are here look at God's word. And if that is you, I'm really pleased that you are here with us this morning. It is great that you can join us. But please don't think that these kingdom rules that we're going to see in chapters 5 to 7 are for you to get you into God's kingdom, are for you to get you onto Jesus' team. These aren't the do's and don'ts which will get you into heaven. These are the rules for those who belong to Jesus. Remember back to my rule for my four-year-old Daniel. He is my son. He is my son from the moment he was born, well, conceived. He is my son. He is part of my family. Just because he throws the food around or doesn't throw the food around makes him no less my son. He is a McClellan, which is probably why he throws his food around. He belongs to our family whether he obeys or disobeys. Jesus' royal family, his children belong whether they obey or disobey. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's good to disobey, but they are a part of Jesus' family. They belong to the kingdom. Jesus says to some of his disciples, come, follow me. And this is the key word in chapter 4 that we read earlier. And I will make you fishers of men. You see that word make? That's really important. Chapter 4 comes before chapter 5. You see, Jesus provides a way to make his disciples into children of the kingdom, those who love him. And it's only then, once he has made them, that they are to follow these rules. We need to be made into sons, brought into the family, before we even consider doing these. So please, before we start the Sermon on the Mount, if you don't love Jesus, don't think these rules are your way of getting you into heaven. Don't think these are your way of getting yourself onto Jesus' team. Come to him first and let him make you one of his disciples. And then look to the kingdom rules. Order matters. Order really, really matters. Because if you don't do it in the right order, do you know what chapters 5 to 7 become? They could become a bit like an elephant. Have you seen an elephant? They're really big, aren't they? Elephants are really big. Has anyone of you not seen an elephant? You've seen an elephant? I'll show you an elephant afterwards. So elephants are really big. Imagine how nice would it be if we somehow got the elephant and plopped it on top of you. How would that be? Would that be good? Would you enjoy that? Would you enjoy that, Nathan? No, you wouldn't enjoy having an elephant plopped on top of you. You see, elephants for you are impossible to lift. And actually, they're incredibly damaging if you have an elephant plopped on top of you. And that's the same with these kingdom rules. Let me take a sneaky peek at chapter 5:48, one of the rules. Here we go. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, that is impossible and crushing, like an elephant being dropped on top of you, if you are not already a member of Jesus' team. You need to belong to Jesus first. You see, these kingdom rules, are you ready? These kingdom rules belong to those who belong to Jesus' team. So that's the first word, belongs. And the second word is over here. Here we go. Here's the second one. The second word is learns. Second word is learns. This is the phrase that goes up here. I'm doing a slide. You'll grow into it. You'll grow into it. Can you do it like, so I had an aunt that bought me big stuff, and my mum would always say, you'll grow into it. That's my mum's voice. Hopefully she doesn't hear the recording, because she'll be horrified. So, but I need you to say, like my mum would, you'll grow into it. Ready? Steady?
You'll grow into it.
Yep, that sounds good. And I have a pair of wellies with, oh, they have written something on them. A. Ansbury. A. Ansbury. Angela, are these yours? Come and try on your wellies. Come and put on your wellies. You might want to take your shoes off first. You see, the item isn't just some wellies. Do you want to put these on? Here you go. Put that on there. Good work. There you go. And put these ones on there. Put them on there. There you go. Fantastic. They look amazing. You see, they're not, my item isn't just a pair of wellies, but in fact, an incredibly big pair of wellies. Thank you very much. Do you want to go? You keep them on. Keep them on. Can you go and let's go sit down? Do you want a hand?
Yeah.
Do you want a hand? Come on then. Let me give you a hand down the stairs, because that would be the worst all-age service ever. If you ended up going downstairs, and Chris and Carolyn would not be very happy with me. Good work. So they are my three items. Learns and a massive pair of wellies. Now, I would be absolutely amazed if you've never had something bought for you that's too big for you, and someone, probably your mum or your dad, has said, it's all right, you'll grow into it. Have you all had something like that? Something bought for you that is way too big, or something handed down to you from an older brother or sister and told, it's all right, you'll grow into it. Have you had that? Who's had that? Have you all had that? Yeah, my Daniel currently has school uniform that is about three sizes too big for him. And that's because I'm not very good at remembering his size when I bought it. But I did say to him, it's all right, you'll grow into it. You see, that's the same with these kingdom rules. They are things that we learn. They are things that we grow into. They're not things that we know straight away, right at the beginning, but we're expected to learn them. Let's have a look at our verse again. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and look what he did. He began to teach them. He began to teach them. We are taught things all the time, aren't we? We're taught things at school. But we are taught things that we don't naturally get. And you see, these rules weren't something the disciples were meant to automatically know. These rules that are rules that Jesus had to teach them. They are instructions. They are do's and don'ts of what is right and what is wrong that they needed to be shown and taught and helped and guided and directed in. Like Angela needed help with her wellies to be guided and directed, the disciples needed that too. You see, we all go to school to learn things, don't we? Who goes to school to learn stuff? Have you gone to school to learn stuff? And there are things that you have been taught since you were at school which you wouldn't have understood when you first went to school. You see, teachers are there to help you grow in your understanding. So when you start school, who started school this year? Who's first year of school, as in little school? So year reception, one? Reception. Do you know what 7 times 6 is? Do you know what 7 times 6 is? No, because you probably don't know what the idea of times is, what multiplication is. But by the time you get into year 6, once you've learnt it, once a teacher has taught you, you get the idea of what 7 times 6 is. Who's going to tell me what 7 times 6 is? Alicia. It is 42. Fantastic. I did have to use a calculator for that. You see, you need to learn it. And that's the same for these kingdom rules. Like a big pair of wellies that are bought for you, living Jesus' way, following the kingdom rules, we need to learn it. They're not something that comes naturally to us. They are things we need to grow into. And some of the adults will remember last week when we heard Nathan, where he talked about that we are always learners. And that's the case here. We will never grow into our giant wellies until we are in heaven. You see, boys and girls, in this room there are lots of older godly people, very godly people. One example is Richard Haycock sitting up there. He is 80. I asked him before if I could mention his age. Do you know what? Richard is an incredibly godly man, but he is still growing into his wellies. He will never fill out his wellies. He will never fulfill or do these rules until he gets to heaven. And that's the same for us until we get to heaven. So as we read these kingdom rules, as we cover these kingdom rules over this next term, we need to understand that we need teaching in them. We need guiding in them. We need directing in them. They require effort, and they are things that we need to learn. Okay, that was rubbish. They are things that we need to learn. So as we work through them, don't get overwhelmed. Don't think, oh man, I can't do that. But rejoice in the fact that we have a teacher, Jesus, who will teach us. And he teaches us through his word, and he changes us to be like him. You see, Richard Haycock was not always this godly. He grew into it. When he was your age, he was similar to you guys. but he grew as he was taught by Jesus. He grew and filled his wellies more and more, and so will you. But here's the thing, and this is the thing that I would really understand if this was the conclusion that you came to with this point. I would understand if you came to the conclusion that, do you know what, it is okay for me to break these rules. It is all right for me not to live this way. Like, it's all right for a year six not to know what 7 times 6 is. You know, we might come to the conclusion that it's okay to break these rules because we're little. And I would understand if that was your conclusion from what I just said. But that's not actually true. Because you see, these rules are the best way for us to live. And when we don't live like this, unlike 7 times 6, which isn't damaging, when we don't live these ways, it actually damages us. It actually hurts us. It causes us problems. And not just us, but it causes problems with our relationship, our friendship with God. Like when Daniel breaks a rule or you break a rule, there is punishment and consequences. Who has a naughty step? We have a naughty step. Daniel was surprised to find there's a naughty step in almost every single building we go to. But there are consequences. Maybe it's a slap. Maybe it's the naughty step. But it's not good to break the rules. It impacts us. And that's the same with the kingdom rules. When we break them, it impacts us. It causes us problems. But here's the amazing thing about Jesus' kingdom rules. Because even though Jesus' disciples break them all the time, Richard does it, I do it, we all do it, it doesn't mean as disciples of Jesus we are kicked out of his kingdom like we deserve. Because there is one person who never, ever, ever broke the rules. There is one person who got it perfect every single time. And who knows who that is? Who is the person that kept the kingdom rules perfectly every single time? It's Jesus. Jesus kept the kingdom rules perfectly every single time. Which makes him an amazing, glorious, awesome teacher, doesn't it? But it also makes Matthew 27 really strange. It's a bit of a head-scratcher, actually, as you read through the book of Matthew when you hit Matthew 27. Because Jesus, the one who kept the rules perfectly in Matthew 27, in essence, got thrown out of the kingdom. As Jesus died on the cross, his glorious crown was replaced with a crown of thorns. His throne was replaced with a cross. Matthew 27 becomes a massive head scratcher as we understand who this great king is. The fact he never broke any rules. But there's an amazing, beautiful why behind that. There's an amazing reason why he replaced his crown, his glorious crown, with a crown of thorns. And that's so that anyone, everyone who belongs to the king would not be kicked out with the charge of treason. You see, when you lie, when you get angry at your brother or sister, when you get annoyed when your mum and dad tells you to do something and you really don't want to do it, when you disobey the king's rules, you deserve to be kicked out of the kingdom and thrown away from the king. But the great glorious truth about these kingdom rules are, Jesus kept them perfectly. Jesus died on the cross, taking our punishment that we deserve so that we would not be thrown out of God's kingdom, but so that we could carry on living in his kingdom all the way through to heaven. That is the brilliant, glorious truth of the cross. So, over this term, as we look at chapters 5 to 7, we are going to be looking at the kingdom rules. But we need to be we need to understand something, two things. The first thing, that these kingdom rules belong. Okay, that was rubbish. We're right at the end here. So this is the last bit. Ready? We need to understand that these kingdom rules belong to those that belong to Jesus. And we need to understand that they are things that we learn. Yeah, they are things that we will grow into as we are taught by Jesus, as we understand them, as he helps us, as he gives us his Holy Spirit, his power. We are able to follow his rules and do what he says. I'm going to pray, and then we are going to sing our last song. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he followed your rules perfectly. We thank you, Lord, that you give us instructions and guidance on how we should live. We thank you that that's a kind thing. We thank you that that is for our good, and that helps us to understand you more. And we are sorry when we have not done what we should have. Please, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to first love Jesus, to come to him, to transform us? And would you help us to learn and grow into the likeness of him? Help us for your glory. Amen.